Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're going to continue. You know, we've been talking about genuine fulfillment. Our church mission statement, and Chad hit on this last week, is helping every generation find genuine fulfillment through life anchored in Christ. And we've been really breaking down what is genuine fulfillment? How do we have that? How do we achieve that? What are the things that hinders us from having genuine fulfillment in our lives? You know, I heard of and I've really been pastoring long enough. I understand this. Is, you know, one pastor said, I know when my congregation is going to shout amen. I mean, I know there are certain things I can hit on, and if I'll hit on these particular sins, I'm going to have those in my church, they're shouting with me, amen, preach it, preach on, preacher. You know, you can just imagine. He says, then I know there's other things I'm going to hit on, and I know it's going to be silent as the church mouse, all right? Because there those sins that kind of hit close to home, that we're less likely to shout amen, and we're more likely to inside say, oh man, that hit close to home. Well, that's what I picture in my mind has happened at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. That's where we're at today. We looked at the Sermon on the Mount in detail, verse by verse, several years ago, Matthew chapters 5 through 7. Well, this is Luke's recording, a shorter recording, perhaps hitting the highlights of the Sermon on the Mount. And at the end, it comes down to a question. And I can just imagine in my mind as Jesus is, when he's speaking against the Pharisees, his disciples are saying, amen, brother, preach. I don't know what the Hebrew word for preach, but I bet they were saying it. But at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Luke and Matthew record a question that Jesus asked. And he doesn't say, why do the Pharisees call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? See, the Pharisees didn't call him Lord, Lord. The Pharisees called him phony, phony. Phony baloney. I don't know if that's a Hebrew word, but that's what the Pharisees thought Jesus was. Phony. He looks at the ones, and that's why he uses it. Why does he say the word Lord, Lord twice? Well, it's given to us for emphasis. He was saying, why do you say, Lord, we are behind you 100%. Lord, we are, listen, we're much better than those people down there. You know, we're the ones, I mean, we're totally committed to you, Lord. Even if everyone else, as Peter said, denies you, we're going to be right there. It's those that Jesus looks at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and he asks this question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? That's a question that every one of us gather here today in this place, we need to answer. See, perhaps Jesus has said today, why have you called me your cornerstone? Why have you called me King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Why have you called me Savior? Why have you called me Master? But yet in your heart, you don't do what I say do. Why is there that internal rebellion that we think we can have genuine fulfillment on our terms and not truly be surrendered to the Word of God Andrew Murray. That's a book you ought to have on your shelf. Andrew Murray, Absolute Surrender. It's a short book. You probably read it in a night. It says, you know, as believers, the life that we ultimately desire, the life that Christ desires for us to have, that genuine fulfillment, it will only come when we are absolutely surrendered to who God desires us to be. What does that mean? It means that we are absolutely surrendered in obedience to what God desires in our lives. Again, it doesn't mean we're not going to have moments where we blow it, moments where we mess up. What he's talking about here is a pattern of life. And then Jesus is going to give a parable. And boy, it's a parable that I think we can so relate to. Because he talks about two people. He says one who they both have heard the word, but one does the word and one, I'm not going to do the word. And he says the one who does the word is like a man who builds his house upon a rock. There's a strong foundation. So when calamity comes, he understands that he has surrendered his life to Christ. He understands he sought to be obedient to Christ. And that in that obedience, he knows that, you know what, God loves him, God cares for him, he has put his trust and faith in Christ, and he knows that Christ will see him through. And he says there's one who builds his house upon the sand, and when the calamity comes, the house falls. And it says, and great is the fall. See, that's the believer that he's trying to put his identity. He's trying to build who he is, build his contentment, build his fulfillment outside of the will of God. And the day is coming when it's going to crash. And he says the crash will be hard. You know, as I look at this, as I read commentaries, Brother Steve and I know your love of commentaries. The more I read, the more I got confused this week. Because there are those who say this is a text solely about obedience, about believing, obedience for the believer. There are those that say this text is about salvation. I just tell you, I think they're both right. I think it is about placing our faith and our trust and our hope in Christ alone. I think it's also about the obedient Christian. That we are to be obedient to all that God has asked us to do. So I want you to ask that question. I truly believe if you have, you know, fought the blizzard of 2017 and made your way to church today, I do think that you take faith seriously. Maybe an assumption, but I believe you made an effort to be here today. I still think every one of us has to answer the question that God looks and says, if you call me Lord, Lord, if you say I'm your rock and your redeemer, why don't you do what I ask you to do? So let's work through this text today and let's see it. I talk about steps to genuine fulfillment in our lives with Christ. Follow along beginning in verse 46, Luke chapter 6. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Again, I think that's where the crowd went silent. Wait a minute, he's asking us that. Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I think three key steps. We talk about genuine fulfillment. Three key steps we need to understand if you're a believer in Christ, or really if you're searching, that we need to understand if we're ever going to be genuinely fulfilled. First step is this. Genuine fulfillment begins by coming to Christ. Genuine fulfillment begins with a relationship with Christ. I love how verse 47 brings in that connection. We're quick to overlook it, but it says, everyone who comes to me. It points to that connection that we are to have with Christ. The only way to have genuine fulfillment, and I would also say as we talk about obedience, the only way to live an obedient life, the life that Christ desires, is for us to have a relationship with Him. Because that relationship comes with the indwelling of God's Spirit. And it's God's Spirit that allows us to have the power to repent, to turn from sin. It's God's Spirit that enables us to walk in obedience. It's God's Spirit that helps us grow in our faith. And it's God's Spirit that allows us to be genuinely fulfilled in Christ. But without coming to that relationship with Christ, and without that surrender of our life to Christ, we don't have the indwelling of God's Spirit, and we will never truly have, as His creation, genuine fulfillment in a life apart from Christ. H.A. Ironside years ago said, we cannot live the life God desires until we have the life giver indwelling in us. So is it a message about salvation or about obedience? I think it's about both. I think it speaks to the fact that if we are going to have a foundation, it's got to be a foundation on Christ. It's got to be a foundation that is built upon a personal relationship with Him. So perhaps, again, I'm not going to assume just because you made it out today, when so many didn't make it out today, that you have that relationship with Him. Maybe that's why you're here. Because you see an emptiness in your life. You see a void there, and God has been drawing you unto Himself. It didn't catch Him by surprise that you are here today, and He has you here to hear this message about a relationship with Him. I believe if you're here, He is pursuing you to have a relationship with Him. So how do we do that? Just very quickly, it begins with a confession. It begins with you understanding your need to be saved from your sin. See, if you don't see in your life that need to be forgiven, that need to be saved, then I'm going to trust the Spirit of God isn't dwelling there, isn't drawing you. But as part of that drawing, we see our need for a Savior. We see our need for a relationship with Him. So we confess that. We confess, God, I'm a sinner. And every one of us here, I don't care how holy you think you are, you're a sinner. We all are. I am. We all are. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. So we're all sinners. So it begins with that confession, God, I need you. I am a sinner. Then there's the repentance, the turning away from sin. And again, God gives us the strength and the ability. We talked about it 2 weeks ago, a really in-depth on repentance, about turning away from sin and turning to Christ. Next, we believe. We believe that God can save us. God has the power and the authority to save us. We believe that He overcame death, that He overcame the grave, and can give us eternal life. This is where the obedience comes in. It's following Him. It's following Him in our life. And not using the word Lord as just a title, but truly using it as a part of the surrender we have. So maybe that's where we find you today. Nothing to be ashamed of. God has you here to hear that message that He is willing and able to forgive you of your sins and give you eternal life. And that is an abundant life. That's that genuine fulfillment that you can have through Him. Genuine fulfillment begins by coming to Him. Secondly, as we grow then, genuine fulfillment requires listening to God's Word. Continue on in verse 47. Everyone who comes to me, and then it says, and hears my words. Now, in our language, in 2017, we have two different words for hearing and listening, and they can mean two different things. It's possible for you to hear something and not listen. It's possible for you to be hearing something. I'll pick on my buddy Bill down here. Bill, I bet if you're working on your fishing gear, Debbie can talk to you, and you're hearing something audible, but you may not be listening, okay? For me, it may be something else. I'll tell you where you really see this. I love to watch people on airplanes. You can tell the person that flies a lot. They get in their seat, they put their seatbelt on, the lady stands up or the man stands up to start talking about how you do a seatbelt, right? I mean, most of us know that. What to do with the airbag if the air thing's wrong. Well, what you notice is the guy sits down or the lady sits down that's flown a lot, sits down, they put on their headphones, they open up their magazine, open up their iPad, whatever, and they can hear the announcement being made, but they're not listening to what's going on. Then you see the person that doesn't fly very much. They've got the index card open. The exit may be behind you. I mean, they are doing more than hearing. They are intently listening to what's being said. You understand, that's what it has here. See, let me tell you what's possible. You can come in here every week because you are trying to make your wife happy or your husband happy or your parents happy, and the whole time you're just looking out the window. That's why I'm glad it snowed today. But you're talking about a test. It's possible, and I sound like the teacher on Charlie Brown. That's all you hear in the background. You're hearing my words, but we're not listening to what the Word of God says. So it's just more than hearing. It's truly listening to what God has for us. 2 Timothy 4 says that there will come a day when they will not, we could say they will not listen to sound doctrine. They will not hear. I believe we live in that day. So how do we train ourselves? Because it's so difficult. I'm telling you, every one of us, if you're alive in this day, I think we all have ADD. I'm firmly convinced, and I'm not a medical doctor, that ADD can be a learned behavior. I think I have it. I don't think I have it. I think I have it now. I try to listen to something in my earbuds and read something different and talk to someone, And we have to train ourselves to be still, whether it's during our quiet time or it's during the preaching of a message or when we're listening to someone preach or teach on the radio. We have to train ourselves to truly listen and hear what God desires for us to hear through His Word. How do we do that? I tell you one way. Is you can study for this sermon long before you get here on Sunday morning. See, if you have the app on your phone or tablet, by Thursday or Friday, it has on there the text I'm going to be preaching and usually has a highlight of where I'm going to be. You know, you ought to be looking for that. You ought to begin on Friday and Saturday to begin to read through this passage. You ought to make notes where you have something vested in this. You ought to ask questions. If I don't answer your question, you ought to come up to me. Pastor, you didn't answer my question. Here's what I was wondering. You can study the text before we gather corporately and read the text together. As you are listening to a message, whether it's mine or someone else, keep your Bibles open. So often we will read the text and then you kind of just shut your Bible. No, keep your Bible open so that we have it to focus on, so that we have it to read and to follow along. Usually I'm going to take you back. If I don't, I don't feel like I'm doing it right. Take you back to the text as we work through the message. Take notes. Hey, I love having a notebook. We give you a small spot on the bulletin. Now, how do you compile those? You have a stack of bulletins somewhere. I like having a notebook. I keep a notebook. If I'm going to hear a message, I'll take notes in a notebook. Or I'll underline or I'll highlight. It keeps us engaged with what is going on. Listen, pray for focus. Especially, let me just say this. And I don't think this is just a younger generation. If you use your iPad or your phone, and that's where you have the Bible, your pastor's wife usually has her iPad open, because that's where she studies. She has her notes and everything there. If that's what you really need to pray for focus. I was in a setting. I'm not going to say where. I was in a setting recently. And you know, I've been talking about what hinders us. And I watched in that setting, and I was surrounded by people who had their Bibles on their iPads. And I sat there, and during the sermon, I watched one guy update his calendar. I watched another person update their Facebook page. I watched another person go through and read, looked like 6 months of Twitter. And I mean, this is all going on while a guy is teaching through a text. So whether it's in our Bibles or whether it's on our iPads, we need to pray as we are hearing, as we are seeking to listen to the Word of God. God, help me focus upon your Word. We sing songs like we believe there's power in the Word of God, that the Word of God can transform us, but yet we won't even allow it to hold our attention for 20 minutes. So let's pray, God, help me focus upon your Word as I'm seeking to listen to your Word. So it begins with that relationship with Christ. Then it continues as we listen to the Word of God, but it can't stop there. The third key, and I'm done. Genuine fulfillment will only come when we do what God says. Genuine fulfillment will ultimately only come when we do what the Word of God says. Let's get into the parable. There are two people. Both, it says, hear the Word. But let's look at the second guy first. But the one who hears and does not do what God says is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately fell, and the ruin of the house was great. What a perfect visual. You know, we usually talk about that, and some of the translations talk about building upon the sand. And you can just imagine you're trying to build a foundation, and all you have is a bucket of sand, and you pick that sand up. You just visually see it. You pick that handful of sand, and it's falling between your fingers and falling off the side, and you're trying to catch it, and there's really nothing there that holds it together. That is a picture so often of our lives when we are trying to be fulfilled outside the will of God. When we think something like a house or a car or a group of houses or a certain job or this or that, boy, if I just have that, that will be my identity and that will bring me fulfillment. All we're doing is trying to heap sand upon sand and thinking for the believer that has God's Spirit dwelling within them that that's going to fulfill our lives. Let me tell you, that's a joke. That's a joke. And one day when we realize, that's why my mother always, you've heard me say it 100 times, probably more than that, 1,000 times. My mom prayed when I was so far out of the will of God, God keep him safely miserable. She wanted me to be safe, but she didn't want me content in sin. Let me tell you, I appreciate my mom's prayers, but let me tell you what I've learned in living this life over 50 years. Let me tell you, if you're a child of God and you're living in sin, you can't be fulfilled. You can't be. You may for a moment think you are, but when the storm comes and this little facade you've built your being around begins to crumble, you know, what is there left? What is there left? See, that's why Jesus said, don't just be hearers of the word. Be hearers of the word and doers of the word. Well, what about the other? It says there was one who heard the word and did the word. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream broke against it, that house could not be shaken because it was well built. Now, how do we do that? See, ultimately, we're not obedient. Just hear me out here. You know why we're not obedient? Let's break it down. We're not obedient to God because we don't trust Him to fulfill us. We don't trust Him. If you're stealing, you don't trust God to meet your needs. You know, if you're looking for some type of fulfillment outside of marriage, you don't trust God that He knows you enough to meet your need. If you somehow you have a lack of commitment, you don't trust God that He will reward you for how you sacrifice for Him. Ultimately, when you break it down, and what I think of in my own life, the time when I'm not obedient to God, it's because I don't trust Him to meet the needs in my life. So that's why. So we don't truly believe God can bring us genuine fulfillment. So we go out on these other ways and we try to be fulfilled in some other way. You know, Wednesday night during our prayer time, in our prayer meeting, I shared with the group there that was about to pray my text and kind of where it was going. And Jeff Salisbury gave a great analogy. His 5-year-old daughter, Johanna, a couple weeks ago, we had a storm, you know, kind of a thunder and lightning. And Johanna comes running in, and there's urgency in her. She said, Dad. Now, she's been in our little lamb. She said, Dad, I got to know, is this house built on the rock or the sand? Because if it's built on the sand, we got to get out of here right now. I absolutely love that. I love that. And we laugh about that. But I just want to ask you, the house that's your life, what's it built upon? What's it built upon? Is it built upon you seeking fulfillment in something outside of the will of God? Or is it fulfilled with, God, whatever you ask me to do, I will be obedient to you. See, what part is God saying? Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you sing to my name? Why do you come and take such an interest among my people? Why do you dress up? Why do you do this? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Is it a commitment to Him? As I asked 2 weeks ago, is He your addiction or is He your Sunday morning addition? What about a secret sin in your life that even the person that you are sitting next to right now, your spouse knows nothing about. But you run to that, and God's saying, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And you still go look at that smut. You still go run to that you think will bring you fulfillment. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And you still run down that road. What is it about a heart toward others that He's saying in His Sermon on the Mount? He talked about loving others, loving even those who are your enemies. He said, love the people who love you. Even the Pharisees can do that. What about loving your enemies? What's God pointing to you about your attitude right now? Well, listen, you don't even like most of the people sitting around you today. What's God dealing with you with that about an attitude toward others? See, let's seek as the people of God to be the obedient people of God. the obedient disciples. And in that obedience, knowing when we can stand before Him and say, you know what? I have sought, not perfectly, but I've sought as the pattern of my life, that whether it's easy or hard, to be totally obedient to what God's asked me to do. See, it's when we can live that life that we will lay down at night and we will lay down at the end of life, not trusting in that to save us, but saying, God, all that you've asked me to do, I've sought to do. See, that's fulfillment. That's fulfillment that the world could promise but can't deliver, but only God can.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.